Good morning, Village. It's good to be together this morning. I am impressed. I am impressed how many of you are here before 10:30. Yeah, it's not as much of an issue with phones, right? We didn't even tell a couple of our kids because we're like, oh, their phone's going to wake them up an hour early. They'll never know. It worked. Yeah, they got up, and so they're mostly awake, and it is just good to be together with God's family. This morning we're going to talk about how to go to church or how to come to church, and it's really a week that I want to take all of the things and all the principles we've been talking about the last 5 weeks and start to flesh them out and put them into practice. Okay, what are some practical ways we can do this? And I think by way of illustration, how many of you guys have seen those commercials where the wife comes out Christmas morning and there's a giant bow on some Lexus or some $100,000 car, right? You've all seen those. Anyone had that happen to you? No one? Okay, then I'm safe for what I'm about to say. So whenever I see that, I think, what a great gift. You are giving 60 months of payments or 72 months of payments, or I hear it's even gone up now with, I don't know. And I'm thinking, gifts are usually free for the person. They usually don't come with strings attached like we need another $60,000. But okay, all that aside, that's just my little pet peeve with those commercials. And my wife is probably watching from home, and welcome all those that are watching. Sorry, you're not getting a car. She would not like the payments. So let's just admit that. What if though you got that gift and it was fully paid for? Okay. So we get rid of my pet peeves and it's fully paid for and you get that gift and you're like, this is incredible. This is the car of my dreams. And so every day you go out to that car and you sit in it for 15 minutes and you come back inside and you're like, this is the greatest gift ever. This is what I wanted my whole life. Think about what's wrong with that picture, okay? Now that may be fun, that may be nice, that may be enjoying part of what this is about, but is it enjoying the whole thing? No. Cars actually go places. Not mine right now, but most cars go places. For those of you that know that story, that's a whole different story. And so if you were to go to that person who got that gift and say, you know what? You can press the start button or turn the key and you could actually go to work or you could go to the store. You could go to Knott's or wherever you're going. And they're like, mind blown. I can't believe I'm able to do this. And they enjoy the car so much more, right? So it's a great gift, but now that it's being used a little bit more as it was intended, it's an even better gift. A week later, you see them back sitting in their car every 15 minutes. You're like, what happened? Like, I don't know. It just stopped going. You're like, oh, there's this other thing. If you actually put gas in it from time to time, it keeps going. It's a gift more than 2 weeks. And they're like, again, mind blown. Okay, so it's a ludicrous example. I know that. But sometimes I think we come to church in that way. Because what we've talked about is that church is actually God's gift for us, not God's drudgery for us. It's God's gift for us for how to walk with God, for how to better walk with God. And we talked about that the church was his idea. And so his organization for what the church is everything. It means everything and how it's to run. Then we talked about some of the beautiful imagery of we together are the body of Christ. We together are the family of Christ. We together are a royal priesthood, a temple where the very presence of God meets us in a different way when we gather and when we're together. And then we talked about some of the reasons God made the church, and we looked at the upward reasons that coming together as part of the church is a gift to our worship. Because we worship better. I mean, this morning, to hear your voices, and I will take with us the last song when the worship team cut out. I love the worship team, but when it was just our voices saying only a holy God. And that stirred my heart and encouraged my faith. And so this is a gift that God has given through the church. And then we looked at the inward, the looking inside aspects, that the church is the best way we have to help each other grow. It's the best place to be encouraged. It's the best place to feel family, if we do it as God has said. And then last week, we looked at the outward purposes of the church, that God has left us as an embassy on Buaro of his kingdom. And we are ambassadors that go out and reach out to a lost and dying and needy world with the incredible news of the gospel of Christ. And we do that better together as a church. And so the church is not God's way to keep us from watching football on Sunday morning. It's God's gift to us. But the nature of this morning is I want to take all of those things and say, okay, how do we start the car? How do we put gas in the car? How do we keep from just coming, maybe not 15 minutes, but for 2 hours on Sunday morning and being done with it and missing the incredible blessings that God intended us to have? So easy to just get in a routine on Sunday morning. Some of you have been going to church for 50 years. I've been going to church for 56 years. And it's easy to just get into a routine and forget the blessings and forget the joy. And today I want to just look at 10 quick things in a list. And some of you are like, more of a list of, okay, what are some tools in our toolbox for how to come to church? I did ask Siri how to go to church. And Siri picked the closest church to where I was at and gave me directions to church. Okay, that's great. I'm here. But really where we're going is, how do I come to church in my heart? How do I come to church and be prepared? How do I best experience the blessings God intended in the gift of his church? How do I come the way God intended me to come? And we need to prepare. We need to think about this intentionally and not just by habit say, oh, 9:25, I should get to church. Hopefully a little earlier than that. But how do we better prepare? And so today we'll be looking again at a number of different passages as we bring this series to a close this week and next week. And we want to talk about, okay, what can we do to better be ready to walk in those doors on Sunday morning? And as usual, we'll look up a couple passages. I'll put up some passages on the screen so that way we can move through the 10 points relatively quickly. But again, most of these aren't going to be profound and aren't going to be new, but to get us thinking, what routines, what rhythms in our lives can we have to experience church, to be part of church the way God intends? And so the first one, which really is one you've heard us say before, we need to start preparing Saturday night. Start preparing for Sunday worship on Saturday nights. Prepare with elements of prayer and worship. And so the idea here is the power of Sunday morning starts Saturday night. And if we can begin to orient our hearts and orient our minds to what God wants to do, I guarantee Sunday morning will be a different experience. If we are just rushed and hurried and crazy and in 9:45 we're getting here, whatever it is, and we come in and we sit down and we're like, oh, it is so hard then to experience what God had for us that morning because we're in the hustle and bustle, we're in everything. But if we take Saturday morning, and there's nothing magical about Saturday night. I don't have a verse that says, on Saturday night, do such and such. We're taking principles from everything we've talked about. But what if on Saturday night we started and just as a family, we maybe listen to a couple worship songs and start to orient our hearts to what might God do? What is our Saturday night prayer around the dinner table? And as we go to bed is, God, I know you have something for me tomorrow. Help me to see it. Help me to see what you want me to learn. Help me to see who you want me to serve and minister to. And we begin to set our heart ready. You know, there's not many of you that would take the whole family to SeaWorld or something and not have prepared a little bit ahead of time. Maybe with the right clothes or maybe with gas in the tank or whatever it is. The night before, the kids are all excited. And that builds the anticipation. And so we want to do that. Start the night before with rhythms. One of the books I'm going to mention at the end here, and I'll mention it now. It's called Sunday Matters by Paul David Tripp. And it's a book of 52 devotions to get your heart ready for church. And they're just a couple pages each, but it's a great way on Saturday night to read through one of the devotions. And it just begins to orient our heart for what's coming. Anyone feel like life comes at you fast? This is a way of slowing down and saying, life comes at you fast, but God ordained church to help me deal with that, to help me through that, and to take church seriously. You know, part of Saturday night, the one that my kids have heard a lot is, we got to go to bed and get some sleep. On Saturday night, when we go to bed, and they're like, Dad, it's not school night. No, when we go to sleep matters for how we experience what God wanted us to experience the next day. So get a good night's sleep, maybe except for Daylight Savings Day. As I'm writing this, I'm like, well, that's ironic. And spend some time praying for the service. Now, this doesn't have to be like a four-hour family time. This might be just including a couple of those things in the rhythm for 5 minutes. As we go to bed, we pray for our church family tomorrow. We pray that God would prepare us for seeing and loving church family. But start preparing Saturday night. Number two, confess and be right with God as you come. Confess and be right with God as you come. Pursue holiness. So before we even walk through the doors, if we want to really see the gift that God has for us in the church, come ready. Come clean. Come with your heart right for God. Now, if you're coming and you're like, I'm really struggling and I'm not clean right now and I'm angry, come anyway and let the service help you through that. But if at all possible, come clean and pursue that holiness. Turn with me to Psalm 24. We sang a song that's right out of this psalm this morning. Psalm 24, as the psalmist reflects on what attitude should we come to church in? What attitude should we come to God's house in? Psalm 24, and the whole psalm is wonderful. We'll really focus on 3 and 4. The psalmist starts in verse 3. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And for us, as we read that, we should think the temple. We should think Jerusalem. We should think going into the house of the Lord. So basically he's saying, who can come into the house of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Down at verse 6, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. And so right there, the question is asked, who can come into the house of the Lord? Who can stand in the presence of a holy God? And this is why we sang several songs about holiness today. Because the answer is to come in confession, to come with clean hands, to come with a pure heart. This does not mean don't come until you're perfect. It would be just really empty next week. It means come and on your way or in the morning or Saturday night, say, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. See if there be any grievous way in me. And we come and we're seeking to be right with God before we even encounter church family. I can guarantee it'll make your interactions with church family better too. Because we've already started to deal with maybe some of the bitterness or some of the frustration or some of the anger because we're giving that to God. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And the only way that happens is through repentance and confession and trusting in the work of Jesus. And so we want to confess and be right with God as we come. And again, just part of your rhythm might be when you get up in the morning on Sunday morning. Part of your prayer, maybe as you're in the mirror fixing things, is, Lord, how's my heart today? I'm trying to get my hair right. I'm trying to get my face right. But how's my heart? Lord, show me if there's anything that I need to confess to you. Help me to be right with you. And that will be a powerful change to how you to come, how you experience the gift of God's church. Because how we come matters to God. How we come to worship matters to God. He says, who can stand in his holy place? Hands, clean hands, pure heart, not lifting souls to idols. In Isaiah 1:13, just a sobering verse, as Isaiah is dealing with a wayward nation that isn't walking with God and is not right with God, but still trying to do all the trappings of looking spiritual. So still trying to give the sacrifices, trying to come to the house of the Lord, but their hearts aren't right. In Isaiah 1:13, Isaiah writes, "Bring no more vain offerings." Stop it. Okay, I added that part. "Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly." Think about that phrase. God himself, "I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly," or gathering, church. And so God says, be clean. Come clean. Those of you in our Walk the Land class a year ago, we talked a little bit about mikvahs. And I don't know if you remember any of that, but outside the house of the Lord, outside the temple, they would have these mikvahs. And in Jerusalem, they found hundreds of mikvahs. And some of you are like, I have no idea what a mikvah is. You should have gotten an hour more sleep. A mikvah is a bath, a ritual bath, that you would walk down one side and go down in and dip yourself in water to symbolically make you clean. And then you'd come back up the other side. And by tradition, the Jewish people would enter one of these before they would enter the temple complex. And what a beautiful picture of coming clean to worship. And so as they would do that, they would confess their sins and be right with God, ideally. Now, probably it became ritual to some, and that's the danger of all these things. But to come and say, God, I want to be right with you as I walk in those doors. And so that's been a tradition of God's people for all of time, and we want to carry that on. Third way to go to church, third way to come, is to come with joyful expectancy. Come with joyful expectancy that God will work in and through you. The verse that we've chosen for our memory work today, our memory verse, is Psalm 122:1. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.' I was excited when they said, 'Let's go to church.'" And so this is an attitude that we come with, that we want that attitude of excitement. We want that attitude of expectancy. Both that God is going to do something in my heart, but also that God is going to do something for his church through me. And so we come looking for that, looking for what we can learn, looking for what God can teach us. One of the ways to do that, and I realize this little mini-series is harder to do this, but when we're studying through a book of the Bible, one of the ways to do that is to read the next passage. We're going to be doing Genesis, start that after Easter. And so to just read that next chapter or two ahead of time and say, I'm expecting God to speak to me through this, through his word, through the power of his word. I guarantee if we are looking to get something out of teaching, we will get something out of teaching. And again, I'm assuming that it's out of the word of God and doctrinally correct and all of that. But at any place we go, if it is teaching God's word, we can get something out of it. It doesn't matter how boring I am on a Sunday morning. If I'm teaching out of God's word, we can all get something out of it. Not an excuse to be boring, but come expectant. And one of the joys of my heart this morning is I was walking in, and little Audrey was coming in. And I know she's in nursery now. And she just looks at me and just starts jumping up and down and says, "Good morning. Hi, how are you?" She didn't say, "I'm excited to be here." That's probably a little bit age, yeah. But she just was so excited by her actions to be here. I thought, what if we all had that excitement to come? That expectancy. Don't be an Eeyore. Don't come as an Eeyore. But come saying, this is a gift. This is a privilege. What is God going to do? I think a great illustration of this is Ephesians 5, as God compares the church to marriage. And we've talked about that comparison. But to see how much Jesus loves his church, that he's willing to give himself up for her completely, to sacrifice completely. Guys, that's us that Jesus loves that much. That's us as we gather that Jesus died for, that he sacrifices for. And so that again should make us love to see him. When we love someone, we want to see them. When we love God's church, we want to be there. Guys, when you love your wife, you want to be with her and spend time with her. That's the attitude we should come in. You can't love Christ and hate his church. You can't love Christ and hate being part of his body. Now, yes, things happen, and there's difficult things that we have to work through. But we want to come and love family. You might say, well, what if I don't feel like it? What if, man, I'm sort of dreading it one of the days? That's where we start to have our mind and we start to have truth overcome our emotions. Our emotions can't drive us, but truth drives us. And we say, I know that this is God's bride. I know the bride of Christ. I know that this is the family of God. And so I'm going to go and love family no matter what. You know, one of the things with joyful expectancy, I think what we dwell on matters on this issue. And so when we are constantly thinking, even the night before in the morning of, what is God doing? How man, he loves his church. How is he using his church? It becomes much easier to overlook the warts. But if all we're dwelling on is the warts and the frustrations and the anger, then you're going to hate coming to church. Guarantee it. And so what we dwell on here, what we choose to focus our mind on, whether we choose to focus our mind on Christ and his church and what he's doing, or on our hurt, our emotion, matters. So come with a joyful expectancy. God's going to teach you something every time you come. God's going to use you in the lives of your brothers and sisters every time you come, if you're ready. Point number four in our list. Come and sing. Come and how to come to church? Come ready to sing and to sing exuberantly, to sing loudly. And you guys, I like I said already, I love hearing your voices because you sing out on so many of these songs and you listen to the words and you focus on the words as that we choose very carefully. But in Ezra 3:11, and turn there with me if you will, Ezra 3:11. And this is a great passage that talks about singing, and the children of Israel are responding to the law of God. They're responding to the presence of God. In Ezra 3:11, it says, "And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." So they're working on rebuilding the temple and the foundation is laid and God is at work. And what do? They sing. They sing. And this isn't a sing like, oh, God is holy. Yay, God. It says they shout and they praise the Lord. They're excited about what God is doing. When we come and worship together, it knits our hearts together. And it stirs our hearts. We already talked about that with some of the upward purposes of why God created the church. But come ready to sing. It doesn't matter if your voice is the perfect voice or not. None of our voices are. What matters is 160, 170 voices together praising God. And it's a choral, it's a choir that God loves that is a sweet aroma to our Lord. Psalm 21:13 says, "Be exalted, Yahweh, or Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power." So come ready to give your best. Come ready to bring your voice as part of your worship, as part of your first fruits. Number five. And this one, the first four really have been more about our vertical expectancy and worship to God. But number five, I want to sort of transition into horizontal. Because if we get the vertical right, if we are coming with a right heart, a right spirit with God to worship God, then God wants to use us in the life of the body in horizontal ways in our relationships. So number five, come looking to create godly family community. Now, some of you are thinking, I thought he would choose a different blank there. I wanted to highlight the word create. Come looking to create godly family community. Not just experience godly family community, not just be part of godly family community, but to be part of creating godly family community. And decide this before you even walk in the door. Decide, I am going to be part of creating the community I want to be part of. I'm not just going to sit and hope that it happens. I was listening on the radio this week, one of the Christian stations. They were talking about that a little bit, and I've lost it in my notes. But so I'll just try to remember it. It helps if I'm on the right point. There we go. But one of the things I said is don't just wait for community to happen, make community happen. And that is so true in my experience. That is so true from all my years as a pastor. We choose whether or not to make community, and that really is a difference of whether we experience community. Romans 12:13, I think, is a very short verse, but just has two aspects of creating community I want to mention today. Romans 12:13. If you can turn there, and actually we're going to stay in Romans most of the rest of the points, jumping around 10, 15, 16. But Romans 12:13, and this is where the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, begins to take a lot of the theological teachings, and in Romans 12, he just gets down to life with these commands and says, this is how you do this. But Romans 12:13 says this, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now, that's a verse we've read. It's in the context of a lot of other examples, a lot of other things to do. But these are two vital aspects of making community, creating community, meeting each other's needs, and welcoming each other, including each other, seeking to show hospitality. And wouldn't you know it, it's in God's word. We don't have to say, oh yeah, this is how you create great community. God tells us. And so the first thing there in that Romans 12:13 verse is contribute to the needs of the saints. And so that means when we come, I have my eyes open and I'm looking, how can I meet your needs? It means that is an intentional question that I'm asking myself as I enter those doors, not how can my needs be met, but how can I meet someone else's needs today? And you might see someone in tears. And you might see someone sitting alone. And we might see all kinds of things. You might hear of someone that is struggling financially. We might hear of someone that just needs someone to come move something. But our heart, as we come to church, how do we go to church? We look to create community. And we look to do that by contributing to the needs of the saints. And we know this from the example of the early church, right? When we studied Acts. Acts 2:45, what were they doing? They were coming together and selling all that they had and pooling their money to meet each other's needs. It says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And so ask, whose needs can I meet today? Physical needs, emotional needs. Maybe someone just needs a hug, an arm on the shoulder, and someone to pray with them. And so the first part of Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints. That's one of the ways we make community. Because when we reach out and meet someone's needs, think of what that does for their perception of community. They now are brought in. They now are welcomed in. They now feel like this is family and not just 3 hours on Sunday morning. One of the statements that if you've been to some of the weddings I've done, I say this at every wedding, is when husband and wife, when both sides are fighting to meet their own needs, no one's needs are met. But when both sides are fighting to meet each other's needs, everyone's needs are met. Same applies to God's family. Same applies when we come together. So contribute to the needs of the saints is the first thing in Romans 12:13. The second half of that is to seek to show hospitality. And this doesn't just mean you have to put on a good dinner party. Hospitality is more the idea of making someone feel part of your circle, making someone feel welcome, making someone feel included. That's the goal of hospitality. And so Paul there in Romans 12 says, contribute to the needs, but seek to show hospitality. Be part of making community, Don't just receive hospitality, but be part of making it. So we want to come looking to welcome and include someone. And so every time we come on Sunday morning, it's intentionally looking around and not just greeting the people I know and not just greeting the people that I love to hang out with, but also looking around and saying, is there someone that hasn't been greeted this morning? Is there someone new that I don't know? Because we want to adopt as many people into God's family as we can. And so we greet each other warmly. And if I can make a word, welcomely, we want to include. Romans 15:7, and again, some of these are in Romans. If you just flip over a couple pages, and these are just quick verses, but Romans 15:7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Let me ask a question. How did Christ welcome you? We were once distant, right? We were once opposed to God. And what did he do? He called us and adopted us into his family. Welcome each other as Christ welcomed you. Adopt as many people into the family. Take that same love. And so we're to greet each other warmly. We're to be looking to welcome and include someone. And that is beyond the 3 hours Sunday morning. How can I do that during the week? Can I get an email address? Or for those that don't do email anymore, which I don't understand, but can I get a number to text you and follow up on someone during the week? But are we going to include someone in our circles? Romans 16:5, the next chapter says, and this is part of the section, the flyover section at the end that we ignore, but catch what's happening in the early church. Greet also the church in their house. Romans 16:5. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Christ in Asia. Down to verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. And there was this environment of, you're going to be greeted. You're going to be welcomed. Different churches are welcoming each other. I know we laugh about the holy kiss thing. It's just saying, find a way to genuinely accept someone. It can be a great handshake. It can be a fist bump. It can be a hug. But find a way to let people know that they are welcome here at Village, that they are part of the family. Back in the Romans 12 passage, we looked at 13, but right before that, verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And so don't wait for community to happen. Make community happen. Create community. You know, come looking to practice several of the one another's this week. How do we love each other? How do we care for each other? How do we encourage each other? Now, here's a thought that I was thinking about a lot this week. If the church is God's plan, his plan A, B, C, and Z for growth and encouragement, and if I don't come, then I am somehow leaving a gap in that encouragement and love for someone else that's here. Think about this for a minute. This is God's plan for how we grow, how we have community, how we feel community. And if I don't come, if I don't be part of that community, if I don't create that community, I am taking a chunk of God's plan and sort of just Xing it out and deleting it. Now, yes, God's going to accomplish his plan in a different way then, like he did with Esther. But you're needed. Because he may accomplish that through someone else, but like Esther says, your family is going to be destroyed. Be part of what God is doing. Think about who might miss the blessing of your encouragement if you don't come and engage. This is what God intended to happen. Number six, and the sixth idea is just a tale of number five. I chose to make them separate. Come pursuing unity. Come pursuing unity. Again, your fingers are still in Romans, right? Go to back to Romans 15. And these are wonderful chapters to read this week if you want to read a little bit more about community and what how to come to church. But Romans 15, 5 through 7. We already looked at 7, but I want to add 5 and 6 in there. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have several verses there that talk about harmony with each other, being in unity with each other. And as we come together, we are with one voice glorifying Dad. We're glorifying our Father. And it is amazing that the creator of the universe would care about our unity. But it pleases him. When you think of one of Jesus' last prayers for his disciples, it was for unity, that they may be one as my Father and I are one. And so I have this in here because we know this truth. We know that God wants unity. We know that God wants harmony in his church. But come deciding to pursue that, intentionally pursue that, to be a peacemaker in your relationship with others and maybe with other relationships. And so if I'm coming and I'm angry at someone, that is going to harm worship. That's going to harm my worship. That's going to harm the gift of the church God has for me. It's also going to harm the worship of the family. And so I need to think, how do I come? Am I pursuing unity? Am I forgiving? Am I confessing? Am I admitting fault? 1 Corinthians 11:16-18. And my title for this verse is Stop It. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. Stop it. That's the instruction there, right? We need to be aware, am I at odds with someone? Does someone have something against me? Have I done everything in my power to make that right, or am I determined to be right? And those are usually at odds with each other. I know that we don't like confrontations, and we are a people that doesn't like admitting fault. But it is vital to how we come to church, whether we're just going to sit in the car for 15 minutes or whether we're going to go somewhere. It's that important. Matthew 5:23-24, and please turn there as well. Again, a little bit of sword drill this morning. Matthew 5:23-24, but this is in the Sermon on the Mount, the very words of Christ. And we can see how important the issue is of coming to pursue unity, harmony, to make sure that things are right. Matthew 5:23-24. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, so if you're coming to God's house, if you're coming to church, if you're coming in worship, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Jesus said this gets in the way of worship so much that if you're coming to worship and you remember something, go deal with it right now. You know, I don't know what all has happened today. I don't know what's all happened this year. But maybe there's someone that you need to talk to today and make sure things are right. That if at all possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Husbands and wives, this applies in our marriages too. If we've just had a knockdown, drag-out fight and we come to church on Sunday morning, does it affect worship? Yeah. And there's a whole lot of men, I hope she's listening to the sermon today. This is really good for her. And we completely miss what God has for me, what God has. And so even in our homes, it might mean staying in the car for 5 extra minutes and saying, you know what, we can't come to an agreement right now, but I love you and I'm sorry for how I've treated you. Can we reconcile, make this right, and go in and worship our holy God with his family? Guys, getting together is that important. Worshiping together is that important. Unity is that important. And one other aspect of unity that I just want to mention is we also want to make sure that we are bridging divides. Is there anything that divides us as a church? Let's bridge that and find a way. Colossians 3:11 says, here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, Angels fan, Dodgers fan, but Christ is all and in all. I added a little bit there. I'm like, oh man, if you're listening and you say, that's not what the Bible says. No. That, yeah. But we've got to have no partiality. We've got to bridge those divides. There is no place for racism. There is no place for thinking that somehow my likes are better than your likes. In James, there's no place for the wealthy looking down on the poor or the poor looking down on the wealthy. There is no place for that in the family of God because, as you've heard me say, we are all equal at the foot of the cross. We are all sinners destined for hell without Jesus. We are all children of God adopted as heirs of the king and the inheritance of the king when we come to Jesus. There's not a lot of room in there for looking down on someone. And so when we say that we need to come pursuing unity, we need to be looking to bridge those things. Number 7. Come praying and don't stop. Come praying and don't stop. And this is just a practical one, quick one here. As we come to church, how do we come to church? Pray ahead of time that God will use it. I've mentioned this before, but pray ahead of time that God will open our eyes to who he wants us to minister to. Come praying and don't stop when you walk in the doors. As you sit down, pray that if you see someone you've never seen before, pray that they will respond to the gospel, that they will hear the gospel, the incredible gift of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that they would give their life to him. If you see someone hurting, pray for them. If as you see the different elements of the morning happening, pray for those leading those elements. But let's be people of prayer. And we talked about that last year when we did our series on prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I desire then that in every place the men and women should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Pray that God will refine you today and teach you from his word. Pray that there's something in the verses today that steps on your toes and refines you to be more Christ-like. Pray that there's something today that encourages you and makes you ready to walk with God. Pray that God will work in hearts around you. Use your eyes on Sunday morning as your prayer list. So as you look around, as I'm looking around, you all, I'm going to pray for you this week because I'm seeing you. If I'm not with you, if I'm not gathering, I can't do that. But I'm seeing you, and so my eyes are on my prayer list this week. Tony Payne, in another book that I have in recommendations at the end, said, pray for where to sit. This is my favorite advice on this one. Pray for where to sit. Anyone think about where they sat this morning? I know where you sit. And I love it. I understand it. It's just human nature. I sit in the same spot every week, every now and then one chair over. And it's traumatizing. But pray for, his point is in praying for where to sit is, are there other opportunities that God wants to use me for today? Is there another group of people he wants me to get to know? Pray for where to sit. Pray for, let the Holy Spirit guide us. Number 8, we just have a couple more. Come with your eyes open and hands ready. How do you come to church? With your eyes open and hands ready. And what I mean by that is come looking for where you can serve one another and where you can put others first. And this is both officially and informally. Officially, serve in a ministry. Get involved somehow. And I have a whole list of ministry. All of us as staff have a whole list of different ministries, different kinds of things you can do. But engage somewhere, and that will help you engage in God's plan for the church and the blessings of church and the gift of church. Every believer has been given at least one gift, one spiritual gift, one way that God wants you to minister to his church. And the church grows as each part works and as each part builds itself up in love. But also, come with your eyes open, look for informal needs. And this is, one of my joys is when needs are met just organically. We're all here that there was a need and somebody already met it in the church. I'm like, that is awesome. That is God's family doing what God's family does. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called for freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Be considerate of one another." And so when we come with our eyes open and hands ready, we're coming considerate of each other. Look, if someone has their hands full and needs the door open, notice it. And open the door rather than saying, "Can you hurry up?" If you see someone, and especially with different people in ministry, you may see a mom or a dad that has three or four little ones, and they are all deciding to go different directions because that is God's way with little ones. Help them. Maybe it means saying, "Hey, I'll sit with you this morning," if you see a spouse that's sick or something. Help in some tangible ways. And let's really work on this. Now, this is one that I think is hard to see just right off the bat. But as we start to pray about it, that God would open our eyes to what the needs are, we start to be really considerate of each other. The 1 Corinthians passage in 11 that we didn't go on the rest, he went on to say, even in the Lord's Supper, those of you with a lot of food, you're eating ahead of time and people are being left out. Stop it. So that was the stop it passage. He says, stop, be considerate of each other. Eat together. It's okay to not pursue every one of your own desires for the sake of the body. In fact, it's healthy. And so come with eyes open and hands ready. Two more. And again, these are quick ones that you've heard us talk about. Number nine, don't finish church at noon. Do you know what I mean by that one? Or 11, if you skip the education hour. it is so easy to have our schedule so full and to have some of the interpersonal stuff bother us so much that when it comes to when Pastor Ron says we're dismissed, sometimes before I say it, I know, habits, where we're gone and we're out. You know, Cane's gets full by noon. I don't know where you go to lunch. There's a new smoke barbecue place that I know is by you guys that might cause a lot of traffic, so don't go there. don't finish church at noon. Don't run. Engage, talk with people, grab a cup of coffee. In fact, one of the things, some of our young ladies are bringing Cafe Village back, and it's going to be back with some specialty coffees. Grab a cup of coffee and sit with someone and talk. If you want to sit and text each other, you can. But sit and talk and pray for each other. Church goes on beyond noon. Church is every day. Family is every day. See how someone is doing. Go to lunch with someone. Hebrews 3:13, and this may seem like an odd verse to put under this point. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And it's one of the one another's that God says, practice this how often? Every day on Sunday morning from 9:30 to noon. No, we're to be enmeshed in each other's lives. We're to be, not in an unhealthy way, but to be encouraging and exhorting and helping each other. You know, and as we sit and talk, it's talking about spiritual things. That's how we exhort one another. And you might think, oh, man, that's so hard. Anyone think it's sort of awkward to turn discussions to spiritual things? It is sometimes for me. I'm a pastor. And usually when I say I'm a pastor, it shuts conversations down in our current culture. It's really sort of fun. But in sitting, you know, you're talking about sports or football or baseball or NASCAR or whatever, to suddenly say, so what is God doing in your life? And go Dodgers. No. So, and some of that is we're not used to mingling the sacred and life. And we think there's this dichotomy, and there isn't. And so we've got to learn how to have these spiritual conversations just as part of normal conversations. Great way to do that on Sundays is use me and say, so that Pastor Ron, what'd you think about what he said today? What's something you disagree with in the sermon? What's something you agree with the sermon? And sometimes even more specific questions might be helpful. Like, so he mentioned something about singing together, encouraging. Do you think that's right? Or how have you experienced that? And so use the context of the day to dive into some spiritual discussions that are truly encouraging and exhorting one another. We're to teach and admonish one another, not just the pastor that's standing behind the pulpit. Have those conversations. Don't finish church at noon. And finally, the last one, come. How do we come to church? We go, and we go regularly. Come regularly. Treat coming to church as sacred. The things that we treat as sacred, as holy, as special, are the things that we pay attention to and give more time to. Take it seriously. Take coming and worshiping together seriously. Enter this place with reverence. Now, I don't mean that it has to be absolutely quiet with Benedictine monks chanting in the background. Maybe that's reverent for some. I think it's pretty cool. But reverently means taking it seriously and as a holy opportunity. Being here is sacred. Being with God's people is sacred. So let's treat it as special. Treat it as holy. Make it a priority. As worship team comes up, and we want to end with some worship together. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2 says this about treating worship with reverence. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And the idea is that we are to take it reverently, take worship, take gathering seriously, to guard how we speak, to not be flippant with how we come, but to see coming as a holy, holy opportunity. I put in there a couple of the books that I mentioned today that are just great resources. And actually, I have an extra one of these. So if you and your family think you would love to use the Sunday Matters devotional, just come take this one. And just a chance to do that. But the other thing, before we sing, just mention one more thing. There's a QR code there, again, and a link if you just want to type it in. As we end our service, our series this next week, are there questions about church we haven't answered, that we haven't dealt with? There's a whole lot that we didn't get to in my study, in my notes. But are there any particular questions? Love for you to put that in and let us know. And next week we'll wrap things up by maybe answering some of those. A chance to be God's church, learn together, and to really get this. Why church? It's God's idea. But let's stand together and let's end by singing and hearing our voices and worshiping together. Lord God, you are our God, and we are your body, and we are your family. We adore you. We praise you together. In your name, amen.